take it on down to Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown, Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. What's left of this Friday morning? Good Friday morning. Time permitting, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show if you choose. Text me. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now on the line, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Great to be with you. It's been a busy spring break.
Well, a couple of things we'll get out of the way before we get into the business of the Alabama legislature. Have you ever eaten a Taco Casa in Tuscaloosa?
I have not, but I think it's the one fast food restaurant that Foley doesn't have. And so we've got to fix that.
No, you don't. You're good. Okay, we could table that. The stuff going on at Gulf Shores, and you see another incident. Should I be kind of concerned about maybe law and order at the beaches during spring break?
You know, it's frustrating. Anytime you have visitors and you open yourself up to visitors, you have bad actors that want to show up. And look, it appears that these were some Baldwin County kids from North Baldwin County acting up. They've acted up before, and here they are acting up again and just ruining it for the rest of us and really causing harm to the brand, right? I mean, Mayor Kennan, Mayor Craft, I'll tell you that Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, Alabama's beaches, are the most family friendly around, and we achieve that a number of different ways, not least of which is we don't have violence. And I just, when I see things like this, and especially when it's Baldwin County, folks acting like this, it makes me really, really mad, because they ruin it for so many others. And so you see folks like the Hangout putting out social media posts saying it wasn't at the Hangout, it was just at the street, in between, the beach, the beach road and 59. And so these venues are just trying to distance themselves, understandably, from this kind of nonsense. And I hope these guys get the book thrown at them. They're causing a lot of harm to a lot of folks and ruining a lot of people's good time.
Right. It's just that brand and what are they doing to protect the brand? Being on the coast here and having lived in one of these beach towns, they sometimes overreact, but the brand and want people to have you want to have a connotation, Panama City Beach is this, Pensacola Beach is that, 30A is this, well then Orange Beach and Gulf Shores are this, and this is the kind of clientele you want. And these news stories, one is one thing. You've had a couple now. And that's got to be doing a little bit of harm, I would think.
There's no doubt about it. And, the municipal leaders there, the county leaders have got to get a handle on, what we can do to prevent those types of things from happening. And I'm not sure what the answer is there. I'm really not, in all fairness. But it cannot continue to happen and maintain the brand that we're so proud of. We're going to have to figure out what a solution is to that.
Senator, speaking of spring break, you had a week off, I'm sure, as my friend Dale Jackson says, doing keg stands at Jabbo Wagner's Lake House, which I can only imagine how fun that was. But that's his idea of y'all's spring break, I think. But anyway, you had a week off. Things look like maybe a little bit of a reset here. You had a hell of a first half in that extra week there. And you got a lot of the both chambers got a lot of controversial things out of the way. I mean, I'm just looking forward now. Get the budgets done. What does the road look like from this point on?
Well, there has been a lot of progress so far. And you look at the accomplishments and you say, wow, that's a lot, and it's gone fairly well. I also look at the backlog of legislation that one house or the other has passed, but hasn't been passed in the opposing house. And so there's a lot of that. I mean, I've got four bills that are ready for floor action in the House alone right now. And so that's, you know, the other, and that's just me. You know, there are a lot of folks in similar situations, that are really, you know, both chambers are going to have to start cranking out that legislation as well, or folks are going to get pretty, you know, touchy, if you will. You've seen how that happens towards the end of the session. So there are going to be some long days and long nights ahead of us as we plow through some of that, to say nothing of this workforce development, workforce incentives package that's got to move through both chambers and committees. I mean, it's just been introduced. So there's committee work ahead of that. And then, of course, you have the budgets. And, oh, by the way, I'm not aware of but one or two local bills that have been passed. And so we've got a slew of those. And in addition to about, I don't know, 50 or 60 confirmations in the Senate that we have to deal with, the House doesn't have the burden of dealing with confirmations, but we've got to deal with all of those. So there is, you know, anybody that's looking for a downhill slide after a break is not looking at it the right way. It is a ton of work to do before the buzzer in mid-May.
But you got a monster of a bill here dealing with the licensing boards, and you're going to have some opposition here, for better or for worse, probably for worse. What's a realistic outlook here, you think?
You know, that's a good question. A lot of that's going to depend on committee on Tuesday of next week. We just noticed that committee. It will be the only bill on the calendar. There will be a Zoom link, one of the few times that I have done that, where there's a Zoom link where we can have some participation for another public hearing. I'm having a second public hearing on this. You know, look, I want to be as transparent as I can about this issue of occupational licensing and the mess that the state is in. Just yesterday, in my Facebook memories popped up a post that I had posted 12 years ago that was sharing something that Del Marsh was doing in the Alabama legislature, where he had his string wall, right, showing all the inefficiencies in government. And the most of those inefficiencies were these occupational licensing boards. And so they were able to take a bite out of some of the state agency inefficiencies, but weren't able to get to these occupational licensing boards that license and regulate about 23% of all state workers. And so it was left undone, you know, over a decade ago. And we really, you know, the good government conservative Republicans need to pick up on that, pick that ball up that was left and, you know, and run on with it. And so I'm going to try to continue to show my colleagues what the problems are with the current occupational licensing scheme, how very few, if any, other states do it like this, how you have lobbyists essentially running what are state agencies and making money off of that. They've turned this into a profit center and are milking small business people in the process, and all with the state's blessing. We've got to get this under control, and it will not be an easy lift. And it may, you know, I'm pushing to get it out of the Senate this year and get it to the House so that they can move on it. We've all seen how much of a problem this is through Contract Review Committee, through Sunset Committee. But you're right. It's going to be a tough slog, because there's so many lobbyists and others making money off of it. And anytime you try to do good government work when there's somebody making money on the other end, you're going to have a challenge ahead of you.
Now, I understand the merits of this, and you know, we've been talking about this for years and years and years, Senator. There are 140 members of the Alabama legislature from top to bottom. Why did you become the guy that's kind of the running point on this, do you think?
You know, that's a good question. And if you look back at my time on county commission and just my business career, I approach government with a business mind. I want to make things work more efficiently. And I look at taxpayer dollars and, yes, license fees and fines and everything else, the same way I look at stewardship in the church. You are responsible for spending those dollars as efficiently as possible. And so when I see this waste And when I see this, frankly, incompetence on behalf of some of these folks, I'm obliged to roll up my sleeves and get in the middle of it and try to fix it. It's not fun. It's not sexy. It's not going to gather a bunch of headlines. And to the extent it does get a headline, people quit reading two paragraphs in because it is boring. But it does harm to small businesses. It does harm to individuals who are the victims of some of these schemes. And we just have to get control of it. We cannot allow the lobbying community to run state government. I mean, actually run branches of state government, which is what's happening right now. They've turned it into a profit center.
Well, and they do that, in a lot of different aspects of government, but this has become kind of your cause, right? Like even the bureaucracy and having lobbyists and, it's always weird to me how government's lobbying government, but it is what it is. And here we have this system where the system pushes back against itself. It's almost like a self-licking ice cream cone or something.
That's exactly right. And it's, we start talking about issues like the Archives and History Board, right? So they've got lobbyists working for them, lobbying against, and they're set up by the legislature. And we are the people's representatives. You should not have these entities lobbying against the body that created them. That's wrong. That's not how this is supposed to work. And that's when you've got a bureaucracy that's out of control, right? If the people's representatives can't make changes to the government because the government is controlling the people's representatives, that is the downfall of our republic, right? That's when the monster has gotten out of control. And so I am trying, and I am hopeful that I will have my colleagues' support to get the monster back under control. And the monster is this government. It is. We've got to fix this. And the monster in this occupational licensing scenario is we farmed out. The government has given up its control. It's ceded its authority to the lobbyists who then turn around and make money off of these functions. And that is really a scary situation to be in.
Yeah, I mean, it's this because people say, well, the teachers union lobby, but they're lobbying on behalf of like employees. But you have actual government agencies that go out and they don't just hire like some mid-tier, they hire the best of the best, to find Getty or whoever lobbyist to the Graf and Reed or these big names in the hallways there to lobby on their behalf. And it's just like, it's always kind of stunning to hear that like the building down the street has its own lobbyist in the legislature. It seems like that should be like a built-in function. Like at best, you have a guy like the head of whatever agency, Archives and History, doing that actually does that and not having to farm that out.
Oh, well, exactly. But it's a profit center for these folks, for these lobbyists. And make no mistake about it. They're using either tax dollars to do it, or they're using association fees to do it, or they'll set up a separate foundation to skirt the issue. But at the end of the day, they argue, oh, we have to have it set up like this, because if not, our donations to our foundation, which we use to lobby you, will go down. I mean, these folks aren't dumb. They're not dumb. And they are, they are absolutely taking advantage of the Alabama taxpayer. And it is high time that we get a handle on that. One of the things that I've seen that was most atrocious when we talk about occupational licensing is looking at the budget for one of these boards that was well exceeded what the total license fees are. And you start looking at it and going, how are you making money? How are you paying all of these fees out to this private individual to run this board, this lobbyist, if you will, to run this board, if your license fees are below what you're paying them? The answer is they fine the licensees. They make it up on fines. So it turns into an eat what you can kill scenario where you have to go out and find the very people you're regulating in order to support your own cottage industry. And that is just flat wrong.
Just a few more minutes left here with State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, gambling, and this was an inevitable question, but we're talking about, you guys got your bill done. Not much action that last week while y'all were in. Looks like the House is going to make a comeback at it. Do you still think it's pretty is pretty much in stone where the Senate is, that there's no room, wiggle room there at all?
I really do, and I've talked with some of my House colleagues about this, and at the end of the day, if there are changes in the constitutional amendment, the bill will die. I feel very certain in making that statement. And so my take on that is, look, try to concur. If you want it to pass, try to concur. The House should try to concur with what we've done, at least on the constitutional amendment, where most things are set in stone. And I bet the Democrats will come along. They don't want to kill a lottery. The Democrats don't want to be on the hook for that either. This notion that you're going to get no Democrat votes in the House, I think, is just a miscalculation, frankly. I don't agree with that. I understand there are some Democrats that want more. I understand there's some Republicans that want more from gambling. That's just not something that's going to pass. You can want that all you want to. The question is, do you want to go ahead and pass what the Senate has passed, or do you want nothing? And it does get just that binary. And from a political standpoint, because you and I talk about politics a good bit, listen, if it fails, do you want that to land at the feet of Republicans who can't come to some conclusion or consensus on it? Or do you want that failure to be, frankly, because the Democrats didn't get on board? And politically, I think it's much more advantageous, obviously, if this does fail, that the Democrats are the ones that didn't get on board with giving people the ability to vote on a lottery. That's certainly a better place politically.
Well, I want to ask you to comment on the House District 10 and how that was handled. I will say this: when it comes to, say, hey, trust us, if we have this on the November ballot, the CA for gambling on the November ballot, there's nothing to worry about because we're going to have just as many Republicans show up as Democrats, inspired by whatever their position on gambling is. So it's probably a wash. We should just do it in November. And I think, kind of based on what happened on Tuesday, I don't know that I'm really buying that. I still, deep down, Senator, think that having a constitutional amendment for gambling is just going to bring out way more Democrat votes and impact that second congressional district contest.
I couldn't agree more. You and I talked about that early on in this process, that the date for this referendum could not be on the general election date, that was a non-starter for the Alabama Senate. It continues to be a non-starter for the Alabama Senate. It's in the constitutional amendment that was passed by the Alabama Senate. And again, if it changes, it's over. I mean, look at the vote totals in Congressional District 2. They were, just within a small, percentage of each other, right there. You change the makeup or the turnout one way or the other, and you really could upset the results of a congressional seat. Right. And that's incredibly important for Alabama, and heck, it's incredibly important for the entire country. And there is no way that the Alabama Senate is going to be on the hook for who the next U.S. Speaker of the United States House of Representatives is, because we got greedy and decided we wanted to put a gambling referendum on the ballot in the general election. That's just not going to happen.
Senator, got to leave it there, but we do appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, sir. Enjoy this beautiful weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Can't say I got a whole lot of cares in the redneck Riviera.